Okay. Welcome to another episode of Screen Heroes, everybody. I'm Derek, and this is Ryan.
Yes, it is.
And it's just the two of us tonight. It's just us dudes hanging out.
Dude party. Sausage fest.
That's right. Yeah. Ray's got some other stuff going on, so it's just going to be the two of us. And
we're sorry in advance.
We're terribly sorry. Terribly sorry. But we're going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. We're going to talk some news. We're going to talk about our comic book movie matchups and how those are going because they're almost done. There's something else we were going to talk about. Well, that's the main topic. Oh, okay. Yeah, the main topic is Planet Comic-Con. We're going to be doing a Planet Comic-Con recap. That was this past weekend. And so we'll be talking all about that and how it went. So, I guess we can kick things off. Just like diving straight in. One thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was Logan is getting a one night only theater release in black and white called Logan Noir.
I think Mad Max got the same thing. So
did it actually get the release? Because they talked about
it. I know. I thought it might have been on the Blu-ray or something. I'm not really sure, but I know I remember hearing something about it. I mean, it seemed like really interesting, although I feel like that movie, a lot of the pleasure for it was in the visuals. And so when you kind of turn that black and white, I wouldn't think it would be that good, but apparently it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I heard it's like that's the way it was, Mad Max was meant to be seen, so I always intended to pick up the Blu-ray and like do it myself, you know? But I haven't had a chance to do that, so. You know, I guess we'll see. But this one is May 16th. It's a Tuesday. And I know the Alamo Draft House at a minimum is showing it. I'm not going to be able to make it. Normally, of course, Tuesday nights are the podcast. But actually, that Tuesday night, Ray and I have some other things going on. So we'll have to skip that.
Yeah, I'm not going to be going to it. Like, so. Logan is one of those movies that I feel like it was phenomenal and I loved it, but it's not a movie I really want to watch again, at least not for a little while.
Okay.
I mean, it was very depressing and it was emotionally draining, and I usually don't want to go to a movie that's that way. I look for that in movies, so
I can understand that. There's been some really great films that were just, you know, really, really amazingly well done, but so intense and emotional that I'm not sure I'm ever going to watch them again.
Yeah, that's the way this movie was for me, so
I think that's fair. I will probably check it out in black and white on Blu-ray. So at least some of the physical releases will come with the black and white cut. I know that the 4K Blu-ray combo comes with a third disc. That's the Noir edition. I don't know if there's any more to it than it just being in black and white, because they're calling it Noir, which leads me to believe that there's more to it than just changing the color scheme, but I don't know.
Yeah, you would think, but I mean, I imagine it's just a black and white version. Just a fancy name.
You're probably right. but I will be checking that. I got the Steelbook pre-ordered, so I'll watch that at some point, I'm sure. I would go see it in theaters if it was for more than one night and it wasn't like a Tuesday. You know, it's kind of a weird time to do it. I would imagine a lot of people can't, you know, do a Tuesday night movie. So, especially when you can't take kids to
I mean, they do, when you go to those pre-screening things, usually it's on Tuesday nights, and that's probably because that's when the theater is most empty.
So maybe that's why they're doing it?
Probably, yeah.
It's a fair point, you know, but at least if it was like a more kid-friendly movie, families could go, but I would imagine most families won't be taking their kids to a black and white version of Logan.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't think they'd take them to a color version of Logan, you know, or a normal version, whatever you want to call it. But
even fewer, I would think, would go to the black and white one. Yeah. You know,
I would think they wouldn't go to either.
Right. But yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was a little weird. But
yeah, I agree.
Okay. Let's see. Well, what else do we have going on?
I know there's a big stink this week about supposedly Wonder Woman doesn't have the same amount of advertising as the other DC films. Do
really?
There was there's two articles that came out. But one of them compared like the YouTube logistic or YouTube whatever it's called,
metrics
for Wonder Woman's trailers and things like that, and Suicide Squad's trailers up into the movie release, and Wonder Woman had significantly less in terms of, I guess, the quantity of trailers and TV spots. And views overall. And then I think some bigger news source went and looked at it, and they said that Wonder Woman actually has like $1 million more for the TV budget than what Suicide Squad has. And since they were just comparing YouTube metrics, that it was
Well, I think like the marketing strategy is very different. You know, Suicide Squad had so many characters, so there were so many different versions of trailers to kind of showcase the different characters that, you know, Wonder Woman doesn't have that because she's the main character. Like, that's
why. And pretty much everybody at least has some idea of who Wonder Woman is. It's like, yeah, you don't know who Deadshot is unless you're a fan of comic books.
Captain or Boomerang.
Or Captain Boomerang. You might know who Harley is because you're a casual DC fan or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's very likely.
But, yeah.
Oh, wait. What's happening? Something's happening.
What's up, guys?
It's Ray. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
I just screwed up our whole thing, but no, that's cool.
I mean, we were like, you know, rhythm, like this was like
we had a good thing going. Now now it's all thrown out the window.
We were talking. Someone may stop you. Continue.
Well, so we were talking about
Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah, like marketing budgets, and I think the strategy for Suicide Squad was they were trying to do something similar, not obviously the same, but similar to what they were doing for Guardians on the Marvel side, was making it a little more hip. Making it a little more outrageous, and that's not what Wonder Woman's tone is supposed to be.
Absolutely not. I do think they've dropped the ball a little bit on marketing, but I honestly think DC is still trying to find their footing. With BVS, it was over the top. They tried to mimic what Star Wars did, and I mean, there were BVS toys, of course, and BVS, you know, promotions, but there was also like BVS tie-ins with milk and a little too far. So
yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff.
They've tried to scale it back to just internet marketing and occasional TV spots. So I think they're kind of like dropping the ball a little bit there.
They did release two new TV spots this week.
They did.
One of which premiered in Gotham this week.
That's a good spot for one.
It was. And because that show, I know neither of you really like that show, but it does have a pretty decent viewership right now.
Yeah.
And they're obviously somewhat DC fans because they're watching that show. But it was full of new footage. Lots of new footage, lots of new dialogue. I mean, as much as you can get in a minute. It was mostly expanded versions of scenes we've already seen. And in the recent week, I mean, at this point in BVS's marketing, we had already knew who the third act bad guy was. We knew a lot of the things about the movie that was going to happen. We knew Wonder Woman was going to be in it. There was a lot of things that were already out there. At this point, we just got our first look at the villain in Wonder Woman, and it's like a single shot of like his arm and like the corner of his head, and that's from behind, and that's all you see. So I definitely think they're trying to play this one a little closer to the vest, and they're trying to learn from the mistakes that they made with the previous movies, which I hope.
A huge complaint of BVS is you already knew what was going to happen just by watching the two to three trailers. I was a
big proponent of that theory. Derek didn't agree.
I mean, once I saw the movie, there was a lot that had been expanded on, a lot of story that had been added in, but yeah, the highlights were in the trailer, and maybe that's they wanted people to go see the movie that way. But this time, you know, aside from an IMDb credit of David Thewlis as Ares, that's really all we have besides this. So I actually like that.
And even that may not be accurate. A lot of people think that's a red herring.
IMDb is rarely 100%
it's user editable comes out.
Yeah.
Notorious for that. The very first Captain America movie had the Punisher as a credited cast character.
Are you sure that wasn't Winter Soldier?
No, I am 100% positive because I was working for comicbookmovies.com at the time writing articles for them. And, you know, IMDb was really the only site we had to go on at that point. It was super new. And it was on there for a good 6 months until they...
There was some truck driver in Winter Soldier that everybody was like, that's the Punisher.
Yeah.
Well, so going back to a minute though, kind of talking, like, I think though, DC kind of falls into a trap either way, because one of the main reasons I said that I was fine with the BVS trailer was that I was concerned if they didn't show that much that people would be upset that they didn't know what was going on. And now that the Justice League stuff is coming out, people are walking around complaining that, where's Superman? How come we don't see Superman? Where's Superman? And it's like, do you want to know what's happening in the movie or not?
The general public is always going to have, you know, there's going to be the people that want to see it and the people that don't want to see it. So you're never going to please both of those camps.
Right, right. So I do think that they're trying a different strategy. And I think with Wonder Woman, it's a little bit easier because the main market doesn't know her villains as well.
And I'm completely okay with that, because besides of Ares, Hades, and Cheetah, she doesn't really have a lot of villains that are recurring. You know, she usually...
Well, there's that one comic book frame, you know, where she, I'm paraphrasing, but she basically kills all of her enemies.
Yeah. Whereas she takes them down permanently, gets rid of them.
None of the other JL guys really do that.
The truth they all come is, back. They have done their best to make sure that Wonder Woman is the focus, that the villain doesn't take credit, that Steve Trevor doesn't take eyes off of her. They want this movie dedicated to her, and I'm okay with that. As far as Henry Cavill goes in Justice League, you know, he may not be in the trailers right now, but he has been in quite a few behind-the-scenes little snippets.
I'm sure he'll show up.
What are you
I wouldn't be surprised just, if it was the third act that he showed up in. But just
calm your tits and wait for the movie. Enjoy it.
Exactly. Now, okay, so since Ray is here, I think the three of us will have fun talking about the announcements that were made about the WB streaming service to launch next year with a Titans TV show and the return of Young Justice.
Don't get me wrong. I absolutely love the idea of both of these TV shows. I enjoy more adult characters than I ever have children's characters, so I love that we're showing Titans and not Teen Titans, but I do appreciate that Teen Titans...
It's a live-action Titans,
thank you,
But Teen Titans Go is still continuing, so at least we see the kid version and the adult version, so I like that.
But it does mimic what they're doing in the comic books, too, where there's a Teen Titans comic series and a Titans comic series of two different rosters, which is exciting to kind of see both.
And, I mean, the JLA never ages. They stay the exact same age, but these guys get to grow up and graduate and join different teams.
That is a little weird. I appreciate that. Yeah.
But
what can you do?
Teen Titans all growed up.
I am super annoyed that there's yet another streaming service I have to pay. Can't we just compound? Like, I get that we don't want Netflix and Hulu to have a monopoly on the internet.
I mean, I'm actually okay with that because I can just subscribe to two services then and I'm okay. Like, what they're trying to do now is what people have wanted for a long time, where you get to pick and choose your cable chain. Like, basically, when you get cable, you had six packages you could get and you could add to them. And everyone was like, why can't we just pay for our channels?
Yeah, a ton of people have wanted to do channels a la carte. Like,
$2
for TBS a month or something like that.
I've never watched more than 20 channels in
my usually life. I live, somewhere between 20 and 30 channels. And even that's, like, more than I need.
Right.
But, you know, I do like this surfing, too.
My account includes, you know, a couple ESPNs and, you know, things like, then, you know, the,
not the
National Geographic.
You don't have ESPN 8, the Ocho on there?
You know, that one's not, I don't think it's available out here.
World.
Dodgeball.
I mean, Dodgeball. I was really sad when they dropped the 3D channel.
Okay.
That was a weird channel.
Well, that's because they put the cheerleading competitions on there and it gave all these little boys wrong ideas.
Is that what happened?
No, I know that one of the ESPNs, like, almost exclusively shows cheerleading competitions.
That's the third ESPN. I don't know.
Whatever.
Well, it's somewhere between 3 and 7. But, yeah, I mean, I love Young Justice.
I do, too. I love really Titans. I'm really excited for it.
I love Teen Titans Go. I'm the only one at the table, probably.
I've never watched the Teen Titans Go. I love the Teen Titans cartoon.
It's not like that at all.
I know.
But I can't see myself paying. Well, what's the CBS one? It's like $12.
No, it's $5.99.
Okay, that's not so bad. So if it's $5.99, I would consider it. But then, like, what I would realistically probably do is just wait until the entire season's premiered on there, and then just buy it for 1 month, watch the season, and then drop it. Because really,
that's incredibly smart.
I can't think of any reason.
It comes down to spoilers. Like, that's what we do with Stars. Yeah. Is like, we only have Stars when Ash is on.
Yeah, exactly.
Or now when American Gods is on. Right, HBO is Veep and Game of Thrones. Other than that, like, I'm not paying the $15 a month for HBO or the $10 it is for Stars.
Game of Thrones is very prone to spoilers, just like Walking Dead is, just like some of the CW shows. For some reason, not all of them, but some. And I would be concerned that Young Justice and Titans would be subject to spoilers, and, you know, it would kind of ruin the fun. So far, American Gods and Ash vs. Evil Dead hasn't really been like that, so I don't really have to worry about it. I've managed to miss the entire last half of Emerald City, and it has not been ruined for me, thankfully.
That's not really a very big show. I would think Young Justice would and Titans would be much larger shows.
I think so, too.
I think my main concern is I thought maybe Warner Brothers had learned from Supergirl that throwing Supergirl on CBS while you had the CW was maybe not the best decision. Gotham is very different than those shows, and so it living on Fox makes more sense. But Titans and Young Justice being segregated from the rest of the CW shows seems like a mistake when you have that rich universe that already exists, and you could have Flash. If you want it on a different Earth, you could still have crossovers like they've done with Supergirl, like right. like they've done with John Wesley Shipp's character.
I think that would start making it more convoluted. Like, you know, I'm all about the crossovers and stuff, but even with what we have, it's become a little congested, in my opinion. And I think that if you add a whole two whole more teams of heroes, that's going to be
Black Lightning
is not a team of heroes. Black Lightning is one hero.
My point is that they're still adding another show, and he's supposedly not connected.
But you're talking about adding 10 characters.
At the time, I mean, Supergirl wasn't, and they realized how big of a mistake that is. They're still, their stories are still suffering because they're not connected.
So. Young Justice is an exception because it's part of the DCAU, not the DCEU.
But also, our DCEU, if you're talking about Flash and Arrow, have animated counterparts that you could argue are in the animated universe, so it's a very odd situation and not one that I would care to see crossover. Titans, maybe. I would consider Titans, definitely not Young Justice. Like, I love Young Justice for the universe that it's in. I love the Batman in that universe. I love the Green Arrow in that universe. I don't think we need to see Stephen Amell's Arrow come over and be like, hey guys, let me bring Felicity to solve all our problems.
I completely agree with you. I just think that having them on different services is stretching people really thin, because they're a la carte is a good idea when channels are $2 a piece or $3 a piece. But when you've got CBS All Access at 6, Netflix at 10, Hulu at 8 or 9, Starz is 10, HBO is between 12 and 15, depending on how you have it.
You might as well just buy a cable service.
You know, it just starts to add up. And then it's, you know, why don't you have cable at that point?
Yeah.
Right. And the only exceptions, of course, being what's exclusive to Netflix and Hulu. But now, like, Star Trek Discovery is exclusive to CBS All Access in North America, in the United States anyway.
Well, they say exclusive, but really, if you want to watch it, there's going to be other ways to watch it. I mean, it's
absolutely
not legitimately.
It's a legitimate way, not one that's, you know, probably encouraged by the studios or by us necessarily, but I mean the people
we don't condone piracy, but that's what you do.
I don't think you're talking piracy.
Well, I was talking about torrenting or something like that. Yeah,
I thought you were going to talk about VPN.
I wasn't talking.
I mean, we could, but either way,
feeling on the high seas or anything.
Right. Yeah, we were going to steal a ship who had CBS All Access. No, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, the kind of people that are probably going to be anti $6 a month for CBS All Access probably are going to be more prone to just pirate it. And I mean, there's a lot less people out there that are so morally good, I guess, that they will have a problem with pirating a show.
I understand what you're saying. I think for me, it just adds up. You know, like, I can only watch Game of Thrones on HBO. I can only watch American Gods on Stars.
You can only watch the Marvel shows on Netflix. And, right, you know, yeah. You can only watch certain things on
Marvel and DC get more complicated, because if you want to watch all the Marvel shows, you also need ABC.
That's true,
right? And if you want to watch all the DC shows, you need CW, Fox.
Well,
and
which shows do you need ABC for?
Shield.
No, Shield is on Hulu.
Oh, really?
At least all the newest episodes are. I don't know if necessarily the whole series is on Hulu, but
well, that's cool. I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's how I watch the new episodes, because I don't have cable anymore.
Yeah,
so.
No, that's totally cool. I didn't realize, but yeah. But still, you would need Netflix and Hulu.
That's true.
Right. So true. Versus, you know,
I mean, CW removed all of their shows from Hulu and put them only on their streaming until
the season is over, and then
season's
over,
and then it's immediately on Netflix. Yeah.
But then you kind of need cable to get access to everything on the CW apps. Yeah. That's true. All right. Well, anyway, I guess that's probably enough.
It's so confusing.
There were a bunch of reveals about the Justice League movie through toys this week too.
I purposefully haven't looked.
Okay.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was Lego.
We're newscast.
It's always Lego that does this, right? I mean, it wasn't any huge spoilers, really. I mean, you can find out through the Legos that there's going to be a fight in Atlantis, which we kind of already knew.
There's going to be fighting in the movie.
Yeah. Otherwise, why Parademons go to Atlantis.
Why is Mira even in there?
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Now, I wonder, are they going to open a boom tube in Atlantis, or will the Parademons swim?
Probably they'll swim, I would
They're
assume.
They're actually Ooh. Going to open it in
They're para fish, actually.
Para fish?
Yeah.
Fish demons?
Yeah, something like that. Aqua demons?
Aqua demons.
So, yeah, that was spoiled, so to speak. There was a, the flying fox can carry the Batmobile. That's apparently been spoiled. And then...
That's fine.
Superman is going to be in the movie. I don't know if you guys knew that, but that was a pretty big spoiler. This is actually the first confirmation that he's going to be in the movie, other than if you're not looking at like behind the scenes pictures.
Well, no, because their official new poster has him on it.
No, it doesn't.
They released new artwork last week.
They might have released like concept art, but there's not a poster with him on it.
It's all six of them.
That's not official.
Together. Why is it not? I mean, Warner Brothers released it.
I mean, the one I saw was fan art that had them all six lined up like that. Maybe they shared it because they thought it was cool or something, but
I'll have to double check then.
But as far as I know, that's the first official confirmation that Superman is actually in the movie. Then one other huge spoiler is that all the characters are smiling. So that's
intense.
So either Lego's going to fire somebody or WB listen to fans going, ah, there's frowny too much and too much sadness and grit.
Batman doesn't smile. He smirks.
Yeah, there's like a slight smirk. Everybody else is like super happy. Wonder Woman has a big old smile on her face like when she was fighting Doomsday. And
well, because she actually enjoys it. Yeah, She's excited to kill things.
She loves it, yeah. And I think that Flash will have fun too. Cyborg, I'm curious to see because... You know, he's emotionally going to be going through a lot at that time, so I'll be curious.
That was another thing that was in the Lego sets was Batman is not by himself when he goes into the sewers that were in the trailer or whatever, flashes with him. But, I mean, there's not any big spoilers. Yeah. It was just...
Wasn't Steppenwolf in it?
There was one that had Steppenwolf, and he looked different. I also on one of the box arts during like the big climactic battle that they have the Lego set for, it shows a backdrop that doesn't look like Metropolis or Gotham. So people think that maybe the Justice League go to Steppenwolf on whatever his planet's called. I forget the name of it, but
Apocalypse,
really? That's right, to fight in the
third
act.
That would be interesting because. Yeah, that would be...
Because then a Green Lantern could show up and win the whole fight for everybody.
Well, that helps my Ab and Sur thing, right? Because he'd be out in space. I don't know what...
Well, you know Earth is in space too, right?
My point,
I'm just saying that there's just as much chance of him being in Earth as it is on Apocalypse.
I know, but
Apocalypse.
You know, the odds are better that there's lots of, you know, there's lots of other planets, Ryan, is my point. And so like the odds...
Yeah, but why is the odds that he's on Apocalypse versus Earth?
Because like, Apocalypse is like a bad place that the Green Lanterns have to patrol.
Earth is a bad place too. There's a lot
of people.
Yeah,
but there's all these
people.
Heroes beating each other up. So
there's not until recently.
Right, but this is after that.
Okay. Very recently after that.
I don't know. Is Apocalypse in the same sector?
I don't know. What?
Like Rachel has a star map of the DC.
She might. I don't know.
If it's New 52, we could ask Derek because that's all he reads. Anyway, what else were we?
I never saw a map though.
Oh, okay. You ignored that cover.
Anyway, yes. Yeah,
that's all the news that I've seen. Oh, Marvel Inhumans did release an official like teaser poster today,
yeah.
Which was pretty boring.
Yeah, it's fine. It's a teaser poster. It's like it's just as exciting as the Incredibles 2 teaser poster that Pixar put out a couple
like,
years
it's
ago.
Like we just draw some symbols. Here you go, guys. The Inhumans symbol on a piece of blue paper. We got it for you. Teaser.
Pretty much. Yeah.
I want to see the dog. That's all I care about. That's the only reason why I'm watching it.
Lockjaw.
I want to see Lockjaw. That's the only thing I want to see.
Okay.
Not really. But, I mean, that's 90% of it, probably.
Sure.
How sad are you going to be if the CGI is just rotten?
I will cry myself to sleep every night as I'm watching it, because I'll still watch it hoping the CGI gets better.
Now, I did read that Ghost Rider is supposed to be back for the
season
finale. So.
Which, Aegis Shield has been exceptional this season. I know you guys have your problems with it, but
No, I don't.
You have problems with one of the characters, or had problems with one of the characters in the first season.
I didn't care for the first half of the first season.
It's
so
gotten very, very good.
So I'm not drawing any judgment on later episodes. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could probably tell you could just skip season one at this point, go straight to season two and be happy, but like, they are doing a Flashpoint-like, story arc. This has had, they've had, I think, three big story arcs this season.
Which is nice. I like that they don't drag something out over 22 episodes like Flash and Arrow. I'm getting tired of Savitar and Prometheus.
Me too.
To be fair, Arrow also drags something out over 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. But we knew that going into it. But the great thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus those shows is that all three of those arcs are going to tie in at the very end. I Ghost like Rider that. Was the very first arc.
Right.
LMDs were the second arc, and that has kind of bled into the third arc. And then the fourth, whatever the final stuff it's is, Ghost Rider's coming back. Yeah. So, I mean, they do a really, really great job at tying everything together. And the between the story arcs has been very flawless. It's the best superhero show on TV right now.
I liked Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a lot. It was something that I got behind on, and then I got even more behind on, and then now I'm like 2.5 seasons behind on, and it's just very daunting to catch up. It's on my list to do because I want to.
I think you may even like Quake at this point. I know you didn't like her, but
I hated Sky at the beginning, and I hated Grant.
She got a lot better. If you did you hate Grant because of the actor, or did you hate Grant because of the character? Because
the character.
You will love the show because that is a very large plot point.
No, I thought the character is actually like really attractive, the actor, and he's
very charismatic.
He's very talented. So
all I'm going to say is it's a Whedon show, so you know that there's going to be a lot of
there's Whedons involved.
Yes, so it's definitely if you have a chance to watch it. I know I'm a proponent for that all the time, but yes, it's good.
It's the lesser Whedon, but Whedon nonetheless.
But I mean, Joss, wow. I'm sure like talks to his bro sometimes. He's like, "Hey, bro, what you got going on, bro?" I don't know.
Sure, maybe. I don't know. Well, before we move on to our main topic, I wanted to talk a little bit about our comic book movie matchup.
Yeah.
That Ray's really been spearheading. We are down to our final day for anybody who's not watching this live.
Tomorrow is our final day. As of now.
So that's Wednesday, May 3rd is the final day.
As of now, it looks like the fight is going to be Logan versus Guardians.
It's
Guardians of the Galaxy, I should say.
But it's possible that Captain America Winter Soldier could pull ahead before the end of voting.
I cut it off by the time, by midnight, so there could be like a rush of votes. So.
Okay. Seems unlikely, but
you never know.
Guardians shouldn't win that, but although it's debatable, because if you're talking about purely comic book movie, then I guess I could. There's an argument that could be made.
We had 30...
That was the argument I was using.
Winter Soldier is a better movie, I think, but Guardians of the Galaxy is probably a better comic book movie.
And that's why I voted for Scott Pilgrim over Logan. I think that Logan is a great
Scott Pilgrim
drama,
shouldn't be that far.
But I think Scott Pilgrim is a really perfect example of a comic book come to life.
Except that Ninja Turtles, which it was up against early on, is also a really great example of a comic book come to life. And it came out in 1990, so really it kind of led the way for all these other stylized comic
book
movies.
I don't remember which I voted for when they were up against each other.
You voted for Scott Pilgrim.
Okay.
I remember. I remember everything. You voted basically the opposite of me in almost every...
I thought we agreed yesterday.
We did agree yesterday, but that's like one of three times.
As it's winding down, the three of us are agreeing more and more. Today we all voted for Winter Soldier.
No, Derek voted for Guardians.
I voted for Guardians. You're dead.
See, I told you. I remember everything.
I love Winter Soldier, but Guardians had a lot to do with nothing really back.
Can we just talk about the fact that Logan should not be this far? That I feel like it's the freshest in people's minds. So
I think that's a lot of it. I think that was also the problem with Ninja Turtles. Like Scott Pilgrim came out, in the last 7 years or something like that.
The oldest movie that made it really far. I mean, The Crow made it to the top eight.
Which I disagree with too.
I think people are looking at that with their nostalgia goth glasses. Yeah. But
I also thought their edgelord
Hot Topic glasses.
Yeah, I thought the Dark Knight should have lasted longer. Sin City should have gotten a bit further.
I mean, the Dark Knight.
I didn't love the Bale trilogy. Dark Knight was the best of the three, and Dark Knight was better than Sin City, in my opinion.
Dark Knight wins a lot for me because it made everybody stop and step up their game. We got much better movies after that threshold. Before then, a good comic book movie was not guaranteed.
So what, you had like Spider-Man 2 was like 02, 03, right?
It was 300 before that?
Then, yes.
Yeah. So 300 did the stylized comic book movie.
Yes.
Yeah, early. And I like 300 a lot. I think, though, what I like about it is more of the cinematography than anything else
in the
movie.
Yeah, the movie has no substance, really.
Yeah,
but
I think that's my big problem with it. Yeah, it's the first Blu-ray I ever bought, actually.
I just feel that everybody is looking at Logan, or the majority of our voters, when comparing Logan to at least Scott Pilgrim, which was the most recent. Scott Pilgrim is a much more faithful adaptation. And Edgar Wright put in way more extensive details that the average moviegoer, I don't think, picks up on. Whereas Logan is by far the best of the Logan trilogy, best of the Wolverine trilogy. However, when you have a piece of ice cream and you compare it to a piece of crap, like a literal piece of poo, then what are, like, the ice cream looks amazing.
It's tough because it's hard to judge Logan in a vacuum because it is part of the X-Men franchise at Fox, and there's some significant continuity issues in Logan.
And there are some huge duds in just the whole franchise.
Well, sure. I mean, between X3 and Wolverine Origins, and maybe even Apocalypse.
Definitely Apocalypse. And Dawn of Future Past.
Dawn of Future Past rises in.
Yeah, that. Yes.
Well, a lot of people had issues with the Wolverine, too.
And I like the Wolverine.
No, a lot of people said that it was a much better movie. Including myself, it was a much better movie when compared to Wolverine Origins, but that it still wasn't as good as it should have been. There was a lot omitted from the Japanese samurai story of Logan that would have made the movie better, but they cut it because of whatever. They changed characters because of Viper. They actually changed Madame Hydra into this Viper character, so now we cannot. So now MCU can't use Madame Hydra, which they've wanted.
Except
to.
They can because she's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, they have since figured it out.
But I only ever saw the director's cut, so I'm not sure what the differences were for the theatrical. I missed it in theaters because I had skipped Origins, and then once the Wolverine had been out for a while, it was understood that like it didn't really matter if you had seen Origins or not. So yeah. I picked it up, and I liked the Wolverine quite a bit. I think maybe some of the CGI in the final battle with Mr. Metal wasn't so great, but
with the Decepticon, you mean?
Yeah. It was Shredder, right?
Either one, really. I mean, you might as well.
That wasn't so great.
Logan is a damn good Hugh Jackman film. It really shows the stretch of his acting ability. Same with Patrick Stewart. The two of them together are fantastic in this. And I cannot argue that. There's nothing there. But the rest of the movie surrounding it,
there's
minus Daphne Keene, she was great. The rest of the movie is kind of a boring road trip with a lot of blood and
I disagree with you on that. But, I mean, I think that
I
think Scott Pilgrim is a bet. If I had to pick between the two, which I don't think I voted.
You picked Scott Pilgrim.
Okay. I had an argument with somebody
else. Throughout
work.
The whole thing that you picked Scott Pilgrim.
See, I love Scott Pilgrim. And I think when you look at Logan and you look at Scott Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim's style and substance looks just like a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's Logan, and it's not Hugh Jackman's Logan, Logan is much more like a Western, not a comic book movie. And granted, Old Man Logan was, from what I understand, I haven't read it, more of a Western style story, just the tale.
It's definitely less comic booky than, say, like 90s X-Men.
But we are talking about comic book movies, not superhero movies. And Logan was not a superhero movie, but neither is Scott Pilgrim.
That's why I think that
Captain America
should have beat
Guardians are.
The Dark Knight isn't a superhero movie either.
It's more so than
nobody
Logan
has powers in that movie at all. Okay. Nobody is superhuman in the Batman movie,
Okay. Well, then Green Arrow isn't a superhero show,
But my point is we're talking comic books, right, is my point. So, since we're talking comic
books, there's a lot of comic books that don't have a superhero.
Right. So that's what I mean. That's why you have to kind of take that into consideration. So Logan does get pretty far. I do think it would be interesting if Winter Soldier won the whole thing, only because of this stark contrast between that Captain America and the one that's happening in the comic books right now.
Yeah.
I agree. It would almost be a giant middle finger to Marvel. Which I'm okay with.
So we'll see.
Who's your predictions? If tomorrow's battle is Logan versus Guardians, who would you be voting for?
Guardians.
Yeah, I think Guardians is more of a comic book movie, and it's a tough call because I really did love Logan.
I think Guardians is a better movie than Logan.
I don't think it's a better movie, but
what's the best comic book movie?
Well, but I think comic book, but I'm focusing more on the comic book rather than the best. I mean, if we're taking best comic book movie, then I'm talking about which one reminds me of, which one looks like I'm watching a comic book,
right?
Okay. And that's going to be Guardians.
Okay.
Logan does not look, I mean, maybe the black and white one would feel more like a comic book. I don't know. I mean, I could see that would be a big stylistic change. Yeah. But.
Well, like, you know, another comparison is if we were talking like video game movies, right? Now let's pretend for a moment that the Resident Evil movies were good. Okay. Just for a moment.
Any of them.
Scott Pilgrim is still a better video game movie because of the way it handles like power-ups and graphics and things like that compared to like Resident Evil. Resident Evil, there's no video game aspects to those movies at all.
Well, there's very little taken from the video games and put in the movies.
Right, yeah, that's my
point. Like, they even ignored most of the characters. It was really just like...
Except for the one movie, they had like three of the characters.
They're all of a sudden like, we're going to throw all the characters in. But anyway, no, I think I would vote for either movie, Guardians or Winter Soldier, that are battling each other over Logan.
I would vote for Winter Soldier over Logan, too. I mean, it's definitely felt like more of a comic book. You got guys in their superhero suits and, like, fighting bad guys and, you know.
And you got the elevator
scene. I mean, they're fighting
scene.
Nazis.
Yeah, that scene was great.
You're crashing giant helicarriers. Yeah. Like, I mean, it's very
that
comic book.
That scene wouldn't have been as good if he hadn't said such a cocky line beforehand. Like,
does anybody want to get off
before
we start?
Oh, my God. It was so great. It was
and I really
so
liked the
good.
Use of, like, the magnets to hold his arm back. Yeah. And that, you know, there was a lot really... I love the Russo brothers. I think they do great work. And that makes me even more excited for Infinity War. But yes, Winter Soldier.
That movie sold me on the Captain America character in the MCU.
Yes.
I liked Cap before First Avenger, so I was already in before that movie.
I had issues with the CGI and green screen work in there. I didn't think it was good enough. And my
in First Avenger?
Yeah.
That's because the MCU wasn't like a big thing then. They didn't have the funding that they have now. Disney
pulled
still hadn't bought
out.
We only have
earlier.
We only have like 25 minutes left, so we gotta go to our main topic.
Derek!
We gotta go to our main topic.
But I have to tell you like 800 more reasons why you're wrong.
I do
I
enjoy that.
I don't even
that.
Know what we're arguing.
Yeah, I'm like, what did I say?
I do enjoy that part of the podcast.
All right, so, okay, actually, so real quick, in chat, Doc Rev is saying that we should check out Superheroes Decoded, and it's funny that he mentions that.
Because
a coworker
today,
a coworker told me about it earlier today, and I told Ray about it. So yes, we will be watching that. So thank you, Doc Rev, because that looks awesome.
We can talk a little bit about it next week, but of course next week we're doing our Guardians review, so we won't be talking a ton about it.
But anyway,
Guardians, I haven't been spoiled on anything. I'm so excited. I haven't had the soundtrack for this.
I do hear Star-Lord's in it.
I heard that and I've seen the trailers, but like usually I end up getting the post-credit scene spoiled for me or something. I haven't had anything.
It's still early. We still have a couple of days, but I'm working really hard to not be spoiled. I haven't looked at the soundtrack. I don't want to know.
I haven't either.
I have
three
people on my friends list who have seen it early and all of them just said it's really good. Go out and see it.
If there's a David Bowie song in it, I might start crying in the theater.
So to any of my friends out there who are on Facebook and have seen it, I do appreciate that all of your posts have been vague. I really do appreciate that. They've been positive, but they've been vague.
For the record, you also never have to sell me on a Marvel movie. It's like encoded in my blood that I have to go see it, no matter how good or bad it's going
to be. You know, I would be excited about this, but if there was actually a Howard the Duck movie, you'd be excited to go see that?
If James Gunn was directing it,
I would be stoked.
A few directors could get me to go see Howard the Duck, but I have been burned before on Howard the Duck.
I don't know what you're talking about. The movie's brilliant.
Only if there's a duck on human sex scene. That's the only reason I'll go. Time I'll go.
With Marty McFly's mom.
Yes.
I my favorite Howard the Duck moment happened during Civil War. It was in a one-shot comic book where Civil War was trying
book, not the movie. I'm like, I don't remember seeing it.
No, they it was towards the end. They knew they were wrapping up soon on the comic, so they were trying to grab as much more money out of it as possible. And Howard the Duck is standing in line to register, and he's with his human female friend at the time, who he's like the doctor. He has various female companions throughout his history. And he's complaining about how he shouldn't have to register, and this is totally unfair, and nobody, or they can't suppress his freedom of privacy. And his friend the entire time is like, nobody's asking you to do this. You came here on your own. Nobody thinks you have superpowers. Right. You can go home.
He's
Howard.
An alien duck.
Right.
I like the theory that the Howard the Duck movie happened in an alternate timeline from Back to the Future.
Oh, that's so wonderful.
Yeah.
I love that. I hadn't heard that. That's great.
Yeah,
like, you've made his whole day a whole
right?
lot
He got so excited. He loves alternate timelines. Anything with alternate timelines, Derek is
well,
in.
Well, now he's going to make me, like, buy him a Howard the Duck doll, and he has to sit next to the DeLorean.
Yes.
I do want the pop vinyl, and he can stand on the hood.
In that universe, he was Marty.
Oh.
And he had sex with his own mom. Never mind.
He went farther with it than, yeah. than the other
movies. Than any other movies, that's true. There's already a precedent for that. Yeah. So.
Alright, so we are actually here to talk a bit about Planet Comic Con, Kansas City's convention that was this past weekend at Bartle Hall in downtown KC Mo. We were all there. Ray and I were part of the press. Ryan had his Buster Props booth, which was pretty decked out.
Very decked out, yeah.
Planet Comic Con has officially broken into the top 15, I believe, biggest conventions in the country.
That's exciting.
I don't think they're on the latter end. I think they're actually like 11 or 12. So they're very close to being in the top 10.
And it felt like it.
It did. Friday was really dead, I guess, because of the weather. Nobody really showed up.
I will say that Friday was a good day for cosplay, though. There were a lot of cosplayers per person on Friday.
Absolutely. Most people brought out like their A game on Friday, I saw.
Because I definitely... So I was doing a lot of cosplay photography, and I got better photos on Friday than any other day of the weekend. So
Saturday, though, it was very reminiscent of when I went to C2E2 or even Dragon Con, where it was almost person to person, shoulder to shoulder. It was just nonstop crowds. Saturday was also the day that Ryan and I did our big costumes. We had two other people with us. You know, Hillary and John, of course, from our other connections, such as Gamer Heroes and Super Sirens. And we were the masters of the universe, all four of us together. And we stood about... Well, so,
Ryan was Skeletor, yes. And you were Teela.
Or She-Ra, depending on who
you ask. Even in my Skeletor outfit, I could still hear that every time.
Yeah, about half the people we passed got it right and half got it wrong.
About 75% of my photos that have been tagged, Evelyn and She-Ra.
At least it's, you know, the right universe.
A completely wrong show, but okay.
You know.
It was She-Ra and the Masters of the Universe, so I mean, you know, it's at least related.
Yeah, it's. If we're saying
Masters of the Universe group, then I guess it's technically still true. But yeah. I mean, well, it's not true, but it's.
Maybe I should just convert my costume to She-Ra at this point. Be done with it. Yeah.
But yeah, so Hillary was Evelyn, and John was He-Man himself.
He
was shirtless
and tanned.
He wore so much makeup. Oh my god, I have never seen a man wear so much.
He looks
much
like
makeup.
Rob Lowe, like how I imagine he looks all the time, and like his young makeup. And
he almost bordered like Trump orange.
I don't know if he was that close.
No, he looked good. Everybody looked really amazing. But when we were in the costumes, we were in it for about 2.5 hours, and we really just stood still because we couldn't
move. For the most part,
Which is partially my fault, because my costume was pretty extensive in terms of the amount of things I had to wear versus
And your sight was limited, your hearing was limited.
My sight was limited, my hearing was limited. It was hot in there if you were wearing normal clothes. It was very hot in there if you were wearing a muscle suit, a Zentai suit on top of that, armor, a very thick cape, a very thick hood, and a mask.
Hillary and I were wearing, you know, briefs and breastplate armor and, you know, corsets. So we had our shoulders, our arms, and our legs completely exposed. Some of our cleavage was exposed. And we were still sweating. So I can't imagine.
I wore a t-shirt and my Overwatch hat.
It was nice.
Yeah. Well, I heard from a lot of people that they were very hot, even in their own. It was hot in there because of the amount of people, probably.
Yeah, it was very warm. I know that at least in the first half of the day, the will call line was just wrapped around the building outside. It was so long that some people just decided to go buy a new ticket because they could just get in a lot faster.
At 11:30, an hour and a half into the con, there were still 4,000 or 5,000 people in line waiting to get their
tickets. What's crazy about that is I think Dockrev and Chad, I had a talk with him earlier today, and he said when he came in, which was before we got into our costumes.
Yes.
Well, he came to my table right around the time we had just gotten in our costumes. But he said that he didn't stop, like, moving in the line.
It just moved.
And he said he was into the convention hall in, like, 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, that's great that they were able to keep it moving like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, the number of people was just massive. I know that pre-sales broke last year, and last year was their largest year, and parking was just nowhere to be found within 2 or 3 blocks. You had to go out from that. I was parking about 4 or 5 blocks away myself. And
it was pretty impressive because, I mean, I've gone to Comic-Con almost every single year. I think I missed the very first year because I didn't know about it. But, you know, if up until last year, really, Comic-Con has been completely shunned by the rest of the KC community. Not by the geek community. We all embrace it as our, like, safe haven. But, you know, there's been very little coverage on it by news. There's been, you know, radio advertising was turned down for the con. So, and this year, it's all everybody can talk about. I've seen it covered on multiple news channels. I've seen
you got it on the news once.
I was on the news Friday evening.
And they cut out the Buster Props shout out what I heard.
Well, we forgot to even say we were Super Sirens.
Yeah, they didn't even say
their real names.
We didn't even prep. I said my cosplay name, and she said her real name, so we...
It was great. The camera guy is like, and your name? And she goes, Ray. He goes, Ray what? Just Ray.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to be like Cher, but I was off to the
or
side.
Seal. So. Kiss from a Rose.
But no, I mean, it was everywhere. It was just, it was advertised everywhere. It was even advertised on the TV screens where I work as a social thing to go do.
At work, my boss and I listen to 102.1, the local radio station that does like 90s pop, 80s pop, that kind of stuff. And they were discussing it and had people like try and explain what it was about. And I just wanted to call and berate them for making fun of us. So, I mean, it got to the point where they're like, these old people were like, so what's this Comic-Con about? And I'm like, I'm going to hit you.
If you don't know how to explain a Comic-Con, then you're not even like Googling it.
Well,
like,
I mean,
it's a
like,
pretty common term.
It's a con. It's a convention. Every business, every industry has conventions.
I just find it hard to believe that, like, if you Google the word Comic-Con, there's not some Wikipedia definition for what a generic one is.
Well, to be fair, I mean, it's the shorthand for comic book convention, and
yeah,
I don't think Planet has been a comic book convention for at least 5 years, probably longer than that. Like Dragon Con and San Diego and a lot of the other big cons are now pop culture conventions, because that's where they get their money from.
Media conventions. Yeah, you could say
It's, you know, they would make a lot less money if it was a comic book show, because...
I think you're 90% right about
of the people that are there to see the cosplayers are celebrities. And
let's talk about that for a minute. I mean, we had Ron Perlman was there, John Barrowman, Felicia Day.
Ron Perlman is incredibly special because he does maybe one convention a year, maybe two. He's not a big convention guy. He likes doing other things. So
because Hellboy is really the only thing he's done that really hits that particular demographic.
But Sons of Anarchy does have kind of a cult status at this point.
Yeah,
you know, the fans
popular.
Are very dedicated, so I can imagine those people would come out to meet him.
Doc Rev thought you and Hillary's costumes were awesome, by the way.
Thank you very much, Doc Rev. I appreciate it.
And then, you know, I mean, Kevin Eastman was there, and...
That's incredibly cool. If you don't know who he is, he created Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, so he's
and
responsible for that.
Co-created.
Right, there were other people involved.
I really wish we could...
One other, but that's it.
I really wish we could have done it, but Saturday night, they brought Eastman over to the Alamo and showed the original TMNT movie, and he did live commentary, and apparently it was wonderful.
Due to some personal issues, I couldn't go to that, but I wanted
Agreed.
To go
Us
so...
Too. Yeah.
So bad.
That would have been a lot of fun, I think.
And he was actually, like, he's a pretty big name to be there in the comic book world.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean,
he
was
also doing
A3
signature.
That's why he was in Celebrity Row.
If he brought
Row,
something
though.
To him.
I mean, his line was long.
How many people in Celebrity Row were doing anything for free?
Yeah, no, I mean, you're
he
right.
He was, and that's a pretty huge
there
thing.
There was one
I missed
time
that
in my
too,
life where a celebrity who was charging $40 for an autograph gifted me one. He did not do anything for free for most people. He gifted me one. So I haven't been ever lucky enough to have that repeated. Most of the creators, the writers, the artists, if you have them sign stuff, I had Aunt Lucia sign one of my Bombshell pop vinyls and stuff like that. Like, they do that for free. And
yeah.
But they're also much smaller names than Kevin Eastman.
Yeah, Kevin Eastman's huge.
The nice thing to do is to purchase something from
absolutely.
Them and like afterwards.
But that's why Kevin Eastman was in Celebrity Row, because he's not your average comic book creator. This guy's a little bit bigger of a name and brings in a pretty big following. His line was very long all weekend. I wouldn't say that it was the longest. Ron Perlman's and John Barrowman's were probably the two longest.
They were insane.
But, you know, you're probably right. I kind of forgot that he was there.
Even
I never
he was
even
only
got,
there one day.
Yeah, I never even got to see him because...
He was there Saturday and Sunday.
He wasn't there Sunday, I don't think, because somebody said they were going to go have something signed and that he wasn't there. He must have cut out really early if he was there.
He could have left early, but he was... credited as Saturday and Sunday with no cancellation.
The second year I was at Dragon Con, Terry Gilliam was doing signings for free. Ooh. Which is a pretty big name.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't charging at all. That's I waited his line and had a Monty Python, a little stuffed rabbit from Monty Python, the Holy Grail, signed by him for my dad. So anyway.
Two other people that just absolutely killed it were our big cosplay guests this year. Abby Darkstar, her husband Keith Zinn, and then Jessica Negri. Like, they were huge crowd pleasers. If you look at their photos on their own Instagrams as well as everybody else, if you just search hashtag Planet Comic Con or hashtag Jessica Negri, like, they had fun. They brought a huge, lively entertainment, especially Negri.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun photos. Yeah, they really pushed the cosplay thing this year. Bringing in Negri is a big deal. I know they've been trying to do that for a little while, so that was pretty cool. I mean, that was her first time out here, which...
Negri's a huge name. I'm not going to say who dropped it, but somebody said that her appearance fee is $8K.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a huge deal in of itself. And not once did she stop performing. She didn't leave the floor ever. She was always on the costume floor or the con floor, whether she was part of the contest that they had or at her booth taking pictures with everybody for free. She sold her prints, but she did selfies for free, and that was awesome.
No, oh, that's really cool.
She made a lot of people very happy. And Abby Darkstar and Keith Zinn go every year to Planet for the last 4 years, and they've created friendships with a lot of people. So they will sit and converse with quite a few people. It's not a rush them through, get your photo and get gone. It's like, oh, I remember you. You did this costume, and how are you doing? You look gorgeous, and you know.
Not really for me, but okay.
Yeah, I'm not really into cosplayers either. There are a very select few that they could bring in that I would be pretty excited about, but they probably won't because they don't have a huge social media following.
Fair enough.
I will say Thousand Faces cosplay, I was not really familiar with them, but their Borderlands cosplays were fantastic. Like,
they
absolutely
stood
beautiful. And they stayed in character the whole time from what I understood.
They stood all weekend repping for Stephen K. Smith, who recently won an episode of Cosplay Melee on Sci-Fi Channel, and Thousand Faces wore his Frazetta costume as well as his Borderlands mask, and the two of them were just killing it. So I really hope that Kansas City brought them some more success and some more recognition.
One thing I want to give a shout out to Alan Hickman, the Lego Master.
Absolutely.
Because aside from his really cool Suicide Squad mural, I guess it's not like a poster, it's made out of Lego, you know, so I guess it's a mural. He also did one of Jessica Negri, and she loved it, and she actually signed it, and it was really spot on. He did an amazing job.
He did.
It
was pretty cool. Missed that.
He built it that weekend, though. He saw where she was going to be on Thursday when he was setting up, and he like basically went and just built it, and so that way she would see it.
He powered through it. He sent me a picture of it Thursday evening, and it was like partly done. I was like, holy crap.
I didn't get the
sneak peek. I was like, if artists send me stuff that they, you know, can't display yet, I'm not even going to mention it to other people.
It's all good. But yeah, it was really cool. That was really neat. One thing that was really funny that happened. So we went to the Felicia Day panel, and somebody, I missed the name. We'll have to kind of check back our notes, but somebody who was a balloon artist made the two robots.
There were three robots on stage.
Okay. Well, the Mystery Science Theater robots. And Crow was like 3.5 feet tall.
It was.
And she was like holding its hand like during the whole panel. She gave them away to fans who were asking questions. And that was really pretty cool. Because, I mean, she couldn't take them back on the plane, of course.
Right.
She had to buy Crow a seat. Sure. So that was really cool.
Absolutely.
John Barrowman's panel had some intensity to it.
Well, so
it's on YouTube.
Some intended, some not.
First of all, he comes out as a showman. He is the only celebrity that weekend that Claire Kramer didn't host the panel.
Yeah, it was just him.
He always does that.
Yeah. He hosts his own stuff. He does his own thing. He tells a witty anecdote, and then it's on to questions pretty quickly. But he came out wearing a TARDIS dress
and TARDIS leggings.
He was very upset with how hot leggings were, and he had no idea how we women do it most often. And I say that it's better than having my cute little chubby legs rub up and down and chafe each other. So leggings work for me.
Fair enough. But about a half an hour into the panel, the backdrop started to collapse, and he had to jump off the stage, and that was really intense. But, you know, he was a real professional. He checked, made sure everybody was okay, and...
Well, first he yelled, "I'm bringing down the house."
Yes.
Literally. Yes. Yeah, that was pretty funny. But then, yeah, he checked, made sure everyone was okay, in the case that somebody wasn't, there was one person, made sure that that was taken care of, and then he just went right back into it. And, you know, I appreciated that he finished the panel and he didn't, you know, try and stop it, you know, completely or anything like that. They did have to shut the room down for about an hour, to fix that all.
Yes.
But, you know, it was intense to kind of see that live, but really impressive that he just kept rolling with it. That was pretty cool.
It was sad, but... John Barrowman seemed to really love Kansas City fans. He was impressed with a lot of the questions asked, and he is a huge fan of conventions as a whole. So he was participating in the con, not just sitting at his booth signing autographs. And he kept saying how much he loved us, but you could tell he wasn't having a good time at the con. So while he loves Kansas City, I don't think he'll be back to Planet.
I mean, we'll see. Things happen. I don't think that either of the two things I heard about were really anybody's fault at the convention. Sometimes, you know, one thing was a hotel issue, which wasn't the con's fault, of course. And the other thing was the backdrop. And that's also not the con's fault. That's the union contractors from Bartle Hall.
Yeah.
From a legal standpoint, the PCC guys aren't even supposed to touch that stuff.
Right.
I remember.
Which is why John Barrowman told a cute little volunteer who was like 16 to drop it.
Yeah. So I really hesitate to put any blame on the convention because the two things I heard about were out of their control.
Absolutely.
You know, stuff happens and it's unfortunate, but hopefully he understands that and is willing to come back if he's invited again.
Yes.
So, but yeah, so what else, Ryan, do you want to talk a bit about the charity stuff that you guys did? That was pretty successful.
So yeah. Good. So we did a charity raffle. I should remember the spiel like pretty well because we sold over 350 tickets to it. So, but it was to benefit a local charity, a local cancer research charity called Noah's Bandage Project. I talked about it a little bit on my, costume couture interview.
Yes.
Check that out on our YouTube channel.
Yeah. Shameless plug.
For all of us.
Yeah. So we decided that we wanted to, in order to bring people to our booth, we always do kind of a little gimmick thing to bring people to our booth. And this was obviously a little more serious than just a little gimmick thing. But we were selling tickets. All the proceeds went to Noah's Bandage Project Research for Cancer. And long story short, we're able to get a Jay Garrick helmet that we were giving away signed by Teddy Sears, who was at the convention. He played Jay Garrick in the TV show. And so that was very cool. And he was an extremely nice person, which all the CW people that have ever come to Kansas City that I've met have always been very nice. And he was no exception, a real, really class act, with him. Which after seeing him on Zoom was a little odd, but
I mean, I guess he's a good actor.
He's a good actor.
Well, you know, he played a great Jay Garrick. It was just the Hunter Zolomon thing.
He actually was really good. Yeah, he was really good as Jay Garrick. I even liked his costume as Jay Garrick. Like, yeah. I liked a lot about that. But I like John Wesley Shipp too, don't get me wrong. But I think that
they were two completely different Jay Garricks.
But yeah, he signed that, and so we raffled him off. And we could have, that might be an idea for the next one, doing a silent auction or something. Or not, maybe not a silent, maybe just an outright auction. I don't know.
We'll figure
that
out.
But yeah, so that was very cool. We raised over $750 for that charity. So yeah, it was a good, successful weekend, and I feel good about what we did. We had a lot of very generous people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
People, a lot of people gave money. Well, we had at least one person give money after the raffle was already over.
Yeah, we didn't do that.
So.
No, we did not.
We didn't have a lot of people do that. We had one like 10-year-old girl that decided to spend the last of her con money on that. So
I think that that's really awesome. It was a really great idea, and I think that the fact that it was so supported shows that that's something worth doing in the future because people really, they were very receptive to it.
I will say, from my perspective, like, I know that we were doing something good. It was a lot of work to deal with.
Yeah.
So I can't guarantee we're going to do something like that at every convention as much as I'd love to. It took one person pretty much full time. that could have been helping to sell our other stuff. Not that we needed it all the time, but that person was running it almost full time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a lot of work. So I can't guarantee we're going to be doing something like that. If we do, we may find a way to streamline the process a little bit more, but, I definitely want to continue doing something similar to that in the future. So
yeah, it's a tough balance. You know, you gotta try, you're trying to do the best of both worlds and, you know,
Had a very large table, so it was a lot of space to cover.
Yeah.
You had people looking at one end, and we had product right around, like normal product we were selling right around where that stuff was. So right. A lot of times potential customers couldn't even get into that. So, you know, there are things that I have to weigh as a owner of the business.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
But I obviously am very happy with the outcome and wouldn't change it at all, so...
That's fantastic.
We had a good con. There were a few negatives to the con, none of which were probably the fault of the convention. Like, I feel like personally, I know we're getting to the end here, but the con has gotten a little big. Like, it didn't feel like Planet Comic Con to me. It felt like I went to a smaller version of Dragon Con. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I actually probably felt more at home at Dragon Con than I did at any point really during this weekend. Which is a really weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Because I drove home every night where you can't really do that at Dragon Con. And I didn't see my friends at Dragon Con because I didn't have friends down there, but I saw a lot of my friends here. But, it was so spread out. I don't think that they used their space efficiently.
My only, like, big negative, and it was directly for the con, was that at least the cosplay area itself, the interactive, the Pez area, it was a mess. Just looking.
I thought the whole cosplay area was a mess. Completely.
Looking at it from afar, it looked like a dirty playground, which annoyed me. I thought it was disrespectful to put the cosplayers who are making money right next to the kids area where obviously no money is being spent. People are volunteering their time to babysit and like have people like have little kids color and stuff like that. Whereas you have Jennifer Van Damsel, who's an absolute class act, but in a full Virgin Killer sweater, just right out there. You know, she is trying to make money. She pays her mortgage with her cosplay prints. So, you know, why would you put her right next to a kids area? Why would you put somebody trying to do demonstrations next to the food trucks where the lines
obstruct? That's what I was
going to
bring
up.
We're friends with a lot of the people that are doing demonstrations there. And we're not talking about like people talking about how to build foam pepicure. We're talking about people that are like very high caliber builders. People that have taken professional sculpting classes, have created very, very large monster costumes multiple times.
Some stuff. It was, you know, more or less licensed by.
Yeah. You know, I mean, sponsored by Smooth On, like they had Smooth On stuff, which is a pretty big deal. They were right next to the food trucks. So right around lunchtime and like in the evening for dinner or whatever, those food truck lines would basically, block out that entire Pez area. And then not only that, it was hangry people that wanted to eat and were angry that they had to wait in this half hour line. So they were touching and fondling all these things that were not supposed to be touched.
The food trucks couldn't have been on the blocked off street in between the two Bartle buildings.
I will give my two cents on that.
Okay.
So Bartle, and I didn't sign any contracts, so I don't know the specifics, but Bartle historically has not allowed food trucks on the roads surrounding Bartle during events, which is why downtown Kansas City is not particularly known for food trucks. Now there are some around and there's a couple of streets that are farther east that are known to have food trucks during the week for lunch. But when there's an event in town, you will not see food trucks around the streets surrounding Bartle Hall. Now, you contrast that with, for example, anything at the Anaheim Convention Center, and there are lots of food trucks. And like there's tons of them, every kind of food you would
really
want.
Bartle is behind the times by not allowing it.
So the fact that there's food trucks allowed in Bartle is itself a step in the right direction. That's even being allowed is a nice thing.
I think the problem is not with the food trucks. The problem is with the convention because, when we talked with Kirk, we talked about how supportive they are of the cosplay community, and we all really appreciate that because we've all cosplayed. Derek doesn't necessarily cosplay as much You know, because he's doing press stuff.
Yeah, I cosplay for like an hour all weekend.
Yeah, so, but we've all done cosplay for varying amounts of time, and you know, now the amount of support—I say support—it's the amount of space basically that they're giving in cosplay. I think is way too much.
I agree.
I think they need to cut that back, and if they're going to have that many food trucks in there, they need to have a space for food trucks and eating all in one spot.
Yeah,
not have the tables down at one end
and the other table, and
just a few tables down by the food trucks. They need to have all the tables and stuff together and move the cosplay area and shrink it down.
The area that had the root beer could have also had the other three food trucks, and it would have been fine.
But then those food truck lines would have filtered into the celebrity lines, and they're not going to let that ever happen.
And they'd rather
squash the cosplayers.
And that's exactly why that happened the way it did.
I really liked this year the setup for the panels. This year they ended up using the downstairs for the panels, and it looked a lot better, in my opinion, than the ones previously. So why can't they do what Dragon Con does and have things on different levels? Separate that out. Have things go into some of the bigger halls a bit. Use those giant panel rooms where, you know, only the celebrity panels were filled to the brim. Nothing else.
Honestly, they could have fit all the creators in one of those rooms. Absolutely. And now, I don't know if that would be a net benefit or a net loss to me, but I know that where I was at, there were people that said they couldn't find me. Now, I don't know how hard they were looking, but it was a very spread out con. And to find a particular booth, if you didn't have a map in front of you, was going to be very challenging. It was.
Yeah. I mean, there were definitely a couple of times where we were looking for somebody specific, not you, but somebody else, and lost track of where they were. I think that this was the first year ever that Planet was on two levels.
Yes.
Right. That's never actually happened before.
I think Kirk mentioned that.
And that in itself is a big deal. So I think that they were moving in the right direction. I think part of the problem is the same reason why Kansas City is not going to get a Super Bowl. We're not really built well for large scale events like this.
It won't be for another, 8 years or something.
It takes time. And if Bartle Hall is not large enough, your only other option is the Sprint Center. And I don't even know.
If you want to stay downtown, they could access the Overland Park Convention Center and use the surrounding hotels for various things like Dragon Con. Dragon Con is now
five hotels, right?
Yeah, but those hotels are so close together that several of them are actually connected
by skywalks. Yeah.
We don't have that in the suburbs.
The Overland Park Convention Center is next to three other hotels that they can use that have spaces for weddings, for banquets.
But the problem with that is, look at this weekend, it was raining all weekend.
God,
do you think people are gonna walk between those hotels?
Yeah, that's a big problem.
No,
so that would screw
weather.
The people. Like, if they separate creators from the regular vendors,
right?
Everybody's gonna be going to the regular vendors. Creators are gonna get very few.
Well, I think no matter what, they should keep the crafters and the artists together. I think that really helps. But they could have put the celebrities in a different room, and people still would have gone to them.
Yeah, I think that the big issue is that the suburbs are not going to bring the type of draw that a major city brings, number
That's
one.
True.
Like, now that Kansas City has the streetcar, and now that there's the new hotels and stuff like that, people have a reason to stay downtown.
Yeah.
Bringing them out to Overland Park is going to be difficult because everybody has to rent a car because there's no other way to get to the suburbs in Kansas City. There's no L or Red Line or, whatever
You're
the
totally
one's called
right.
in Atlanta. The MARTA, and so I think that, you could do something at the Sprint Center because it's right by KC Live.
Is it bigger than Bartle?
It is.
It is, but here's the
catch.
If you
access the outside rims.
But I don't know about panel rooms.
Yeah.
I don't think they're really set up for that. So then the question is, where are your panels, right? And so things start to get really complicated, which is why PCC and other large events stick to Bartle. Because that's what Bartle was built for. It was not necessarily built for 80, 90,000 people, but it was built
for
conventions.
Where were they planning on doing that, costuming area across the street somewhere?
Yeah, I forget what building that was supposed to be in. I feel like it was supposed to be where the other panels were, I think is what they meant, but I never saw those final plans, so I can't say for sure.
And they scrapped it pretty soon after they realized that nobody would go over there, so.
I mean, it's a little confusing because, we know Kansas City pretty well. We grew up here. But Bartle crosses a couple streets. There's different escalators. There's different places where those rooms are. And I can understand that if you're totally unfamiliar, if it was your first Planet Comic-Con, I could understand being fairly overwhelmed about where you're supposed to go.
It was, yeah.
On the flip side, I do think that they are trying really hard to get better at that. There were giant map signs at the top of the escalators with entire directories. I felt that the overall organization was pretty straightforward. I thought the the rows were nice and wide.
They did make them wider this year, which I liked, but it also made it feel like, for example, on Friday,
yeah,
that there was a lot of wasted space. And in that cosplay area, I walked around there a few times. I missed stuff because it was so spread out unnecessarily, I feel like. And I realize cosplayers usually take up a lot of room, but I mean, I thought
it was too much. Saturday was very congested.
Interactive photo op places. They had two different mermaids. They had a G.I. Joe lookout tower.
Trash compactor.
From
Star Wars. And they had some other Star Wars.
There were a couple Star Wars things. There was the Lord of the Rings group had an Ent. There was the Toothless Dragon.
Was there.
There was, I believe, a Halo setup that had some stuff.
I think that's a little much. I think, honestly, too. They're just going too far with it.
I mean, I didn't even realize until I was looking at photos that there was the retro video games in the back.
I saw those because I was walking by the Pez area and saw it, like, way over there. But
I think the problem is that you have to plan for the most congested it's going to be. And on Saturday, you needed the rows to be that wide. But yeah, you're right. On Friday, you didn't. And so it's difficult to kind of plan for both.
But I feel like the rows overall were okay. I feel like my problem was how spread out and like full of just wasted space the cosplay area was. And maybe it was really busy up there on Saturday. And I'm sure that's true. But I think it still would have been busy up there if they had just cut and made it more concise, the cosplay area, and spread the food truck out, yeah, and like eating area out and moved stuff south a little bit.
This was the first time that they used every hall. They've never used all the halls before for the convention floor. Last year they used the last hall, they used the last hall as the staging area for people to line up essentially.
And they had two food trucks out there too, and they were using it as a staging area?
They did, yeah.
Isn't a horrible idea.
No, and I think that this being their first year where they had to use two different floors, where they still wanted the food trucks, where they were using all the halls, I think that it was a really good attempt at all of those things. And I think it'll only get better once they look back and they see exactly what we saw and determine what they can do too.
But will they see that? That's the trick. They also lost one of their big cosplay planners, the person that kind of planned the cosplay area and contacted people, from what I understand this year, and that seemed to affect it.
I mean, it very well may have. I mean, there's always going to be growing pains, right? As the con gets bigger, those people are going to get hit up by other big conventions because they're successful. And as a convention continues to grow at the rate that Planet has been growing, it is hard to keep up with that. You know, it's that kind of age old saying of, yeah, we're prepared this year for last year, kind of thing.
They outgrow faster than what they should. I mean, since it's moved to Bartle, it grows about 10 to 20,000 people every year. So that's a lot to.
Yeah. Take. I mean, if they grew 20,000 people this year, that's going to put them close to 100,000. Yeah. I think it was a little over 70,000 they had last year from that's not the official number. That's like,
I thought it was 72. So
I thought their official number was like in the 60s, yeah. but they said it was probably a little over 70 overall.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it broke 80. I think that's very reasonable. I'd be a little surprised if it broke 90, but it's hard to judge that kind of thing just by being on the con floor.
Saturday sure seemed like, yeah. and even Sunday, at points, it died down a lot earlier than Saturday did.
And it kicked off a little late.
Yeah, it did.
I mean, Sundays are tough, especially with the weather being the way it was. I know several people who had intended to go that decided not to because of the weather.
Yes.
I just hope they don't go to a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday Dragon Con. That would be too much, I feel like.
Yeah. Don't do Monday.
I mean, the truth is there was other stuff going on that weekend too. There was the local Warrior Dash was going on, for example, and I had a few friends who were supposed to do that, and then that got rained out, actually. And so, there's always something going on, and so if they find a free weekend next year that doesn't have anything else, that could boost the crowd even more, and the weather's nice.
I saw a couple posts on Facebook that said that people needed one more day at the convention, and honestly, not from a business perspective, but from a personal perspective, I would have enjoyed that because I got about an hour to go walk around. I didn't even get to look at the artist stuff at all, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty burned out by the end of the con, personally. I would have liked to have
But you were walking around the whole time. I was. So it wasn't like last year the Superstars had a booth, so you at least had a home base, which really helps a lot. And I know you kind of used Buster Props as your home base, but
more as the weekend got on, I got more and more tired.
Yeah, which I'm fine with that. But I mean, I'm saying you had an official home base last year, so that that probably helped you with the burnout because you could go sit and just like talk to people.
Last year I was also on pretty intense painkillers. Yeah. So, whatever. But no, I mean, another extra day maybe means that, I get to see more panels because the truth was I only got to see two, Felicia Day and John Barrowman, and I wanted to see more. I guess before we end, I probably should talk a little bit about the opening ceremonies that they had, which were kind of fun. So they actually, had a skit done with the NWL, which is the National Wrestling League, which has been promoting themselves very big in town recently. There's a giant billboard on I-35 and things like that. And, that's not my thing personally. I'm not really into wrestling, but I really enjoyed the skit. Those guys were really funny and I really enjoyed what they were trying to do. So I thought that that was really a lot of fun. It was a unique way to kick off the convention. I will say that they probably need to advertise that a little better because the room was pretty empty and there were a bunch of people I know that were waiting for the convention to open at noon and didn't know that there was an 11 o'clock event that they could have gone to.
Yeah.
And then they brought out, I'm drawing a blank on the charity group that creates the cosplays out of wheelchairs.
Walking and Rolling.
Thank you. Walking and Rolling. They did a really cool one with Olathe Northwest local high school where they made an advanced TIE fighter. I forget the actual model of the TIE fighter, but they made a TIE fighter for this kid who really loves Star Wars and they brought on, all the 501st guys and stuff. And that was really cool. The guy who plays Darth Vader, was up there too.
Thank you.
And, that was really great. And then they brought on a bunch of more cosplayers, including Rey. You were up on stage there.
What?
My buddy Paco.
Paco was there.
The Gotham Knight. He's a big
Paco
Buster Props.
Paco and I stuck to each other like glue.
All your costumes.
Which I'm very glad about.
It wasn't just because of that. It was because we like heat each other. We like.
I was happy because I had both of their phones. So if they had split up, it was going
to
be very
difficult.
To be
fair, I like Paco a lot too. So I hung out to him pretty close the whole convention.
Yeah, but you like him sexually.
That's true. And he was really sweaty. So I was like hover handing. When I was
very sweaty. I had to lift and adjust his cape at one point and my hand was just covered in cal sweat.
Yeah.
Cal sweat is the worst sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's a trooper. He is a trooper.
He's beast mode.
And let's see, we did, Costume Couture did a bunch of cosplay interviews.
On Sunday, we got to talk to Jennifer Van Damsel. We talked to Doodle Sport Cosplay. Mostly local people, but, definitely some, out of towners too. So
yeah.
That was nice.
So those will be coming out on Monday, for next week's Costume Couture.
Okay. So. Cool. Good to know. I didn't know when it would be out.
Yeah. Funny, I thought Rachel had more control over that than she does.
I don't.
She's the host. Her and Ian are the hosts. I'm the producer. So,
Okay.
I like to tell him he's the best boy, but he disagrees.
Producer,
he's the best key grip,
director.
That's what I think he is.
Camera guy, editor.
You're
he
the key grip.
Something.
I know. Trust me.
Fascinating.
All right, guys.
I'm sorry. Jordan's saying it was a TIE bomber.
Which is
Jordan is
not a fan of Star Wars, so
thank
I don't know
Jordan.
How he knows that, but.
I appreciate, maybe he paid better attention than
maybe
I did.
Maybe he Googled it.
He probably did.
I was so focused on trying to get some photos and stuff that I wasn't like actively listening to everything that was going on, so. But yeah, so check it out. We've got our cosplay galleries up on Facebook. Friday and Saturday cosplay photos are up. Sunday is not yet.
You can
I'm
see those pictures of the Skeletor
processing.
And yep. Masters of the Universe group. I call it the Skeletor and the Masters of the Universe group. Really, it's probably the He-Man and the Masters of the Universe group. But, I like to make it all about myself.
I think
so.
It's Derek and the Masters of the Universe.
Well, there was one of those.
I have the power.
If you have pictures of me, do not tag me. I do not want to see them. I don't.
But check us out at Heroes Podcast on Facebook and Twitter and the Instagrams. I'm posting some photos on there kind of one at a time.
Join us next Tuesday.
Yes.
8 p.m. We're talking Guardians. Our friend Robert McCullough is back for that one. Talking
Will I
Guardians.
Love it? Will I hate it? Who knows?
He'll love it because Kurt Russell's in
that's,
it.
That's why I'll love Kurt Russell for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, twitch.tv/heroespodcast. I want you guys to join us. Tell us what you thought of the movie too, so we can have a nice fun conversation about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
And of course, join us for Gamer Heroes later on this week.
Yeah, we'll be, John and I will be streaming some games tomorrow night. Wednesday, tonight, if you're listening to this when the day it airs, Wednesday is when we stream stuff. I don't know what we're going to stream yet, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Bye, guys.
All right, bye, everybody.